What a wonderful song. Take your Bibles while you're standing there and turn to the book of Lamentations. That is right after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, right before the book of Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. And I want to preach to you today. I need to see. Chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 26 together. Let's read this passage responsively. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you. In the next 35, 37 minutes, would you allow me to help your people? Lord, I hope that today you'll get some extra love, some extra attention, some extra time with your people because of today's sermon, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite qualities about God. I'm not saying it is necessarily the most important quality, but personally, it's one of my most favorite qualities of God. I kind of want to brag on God a little while, and I want to challenge us to be a little bit more like he is in this area of our life. God not only has this quality, the Bible says that he is the source of this quality. That quality is this, it is the quality of faithfulness. God says in Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 23, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. God didn't say great is your faithfulness. He said, great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God. You see, I am so glad that we have a God who is faithful. I'm so glad that it's not just that he expects us to be faithful, but that he is faithful. May I say something? The false religions of the world are based on man's faithfulness. That's right. Christianity is based on his faithfulness to man. We have this thing backwards. We think that we have to be faithful to maintain Christianity. God says, no, I'll be faithful to you whether you're faithful or not. Right. We Christians have a God who is faithful. Not only is he faithful, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, that one of his names is faithful. It says, faithful and true is thy name. So not only is he faithful, not only does he have faithfulness, but God's name is faithful. God does not demand faithfulness of us. He demands it of himself. Now, we live in a world that knows little to nothing about faithfulness. People are not faithful to their spouses. People are not faithful to their jobs. Oh, amen. People are not faithful to their children. People are not faithful to their parents. People are not faithful to their country, just like a bunch of NFL idiots. People are not faithful to church, and people are not faithful to God. According to Matthew 17:17, there is a generation, the Bible says, O faithless generation, we are there. We are in that faithless generation. My college president used to say, Any old dog can be faithful. It's a shame that a dog has more faithfulness than most people. By the way, I risk offending somebody. Tough. But it's a shame that a dog has more faithfulness than most Christian people. I'm so glad God is not a sinner like me. God has perfect faithfulness. You know, we are created in God's likeness. We were created in the image of God, and God created you to be faithful. He created you with the ability to have faithfulness, Daisy. That means we have the ability in us after we get saved to do and to be like God. Now, it'll be tainted by sin. It won't be as good. It won't be as perfect as His. But He gave us the ability to have those things. Genesis chapter 1, in the image of God created Him, both male and female. Is that not what God said? That means the emotions God has, we have the ability to have. The qualities that God has, we have the ability to have. The character God has, we have the ability to have. You say, I can't have the character of God. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in you, and you have the ability to have the character of God.
Amen.
It's whether you yield to it or not that's the issue.
That's right.
You see, we have the ability to be faithful. We have faithfulness available to us if we are saved. Now, what is faithful? What does the word faithful mean? It's a very interesting word. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, it virtually means the same thing, and it means this: trustworthy, established, truthful. It means a support or a foundation. It means sure, true, or permanent. The word faithful is it's kind of like you ladies' diamonds, your engagement diamond. You have one diamond, but it's cut into many different facets. And every one of those cuts on that diamond reflects the light in a different way, and that's what makes it sparkle and brings the color out in the diamond. Faithfulness is just like that. It is one stone, but it's cut on many sides. It has many facets to make it sparkle all the time. It means, faithfulness means you're trustworthy. Can I tell you something? You can trust God.
Amen.
It means you're established. God said, I've established thy ways, thy coming and thy going forth. It means truthful. He said, I am truthful. The word of God is truth.
Amen.
It's support. The Holy Spirit's there to support you. It's sure. Can I tell you something? God is sure.
Amen.
It's true. It is permanent. I am the Lord God. I am. Who should I say sent me? The I am God. He's always true. He's always there. He's always ever present. And He's permanent. He's been before the world was. He is while the world is. And He will be when the world is no longer.
Amen.
Faithfulness is to reflect the light of God in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you about four or five things here today that I want to help you with about faithfulness. Number one, God is faithful to man. God is faithful to man. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look at one verse here. We'll look at one other verse, and then I'm going to preach a while, and then we'll look at another one. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. I love this. If you mark in your Bible, get your pen out, get whatever out, and start marking. You ready? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 9. God is faithful. Now, everybody look at me. I didn't say that. God did. These are God's words, and God said, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, I'm about to shout. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But what? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. Can I tell you something? You can rest assured God is faithful. You may not be, but God is. And God will be faithful to you whether you're faithful to him or not. I'll make a statement here. Hang on. If a perfect, sinless, holy God can be faithful to dirty, rotten sinners, how much more faithful should we be to him? If God who is perfect, God who is sinless, can be faithful to sinful man, how much more faithful should we be to him? I'm going to take it a step further. If God, who is perfect, can be faithful to a sinner, how much more faithful should we be to each other as sinners? Too many of us have a selfish playground mentality of faithfulness. Well, I'll be faithful to you as long as you're faithful to me. I'll play with you as long as you play nice with me, but if not, to you. Too many of us live with that mentality. We are to be faithful whether somebody else is or not.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I had a preacher call me this week who has changed a little bit. But I was kind to him. I've been friends with him for a long time. I haven't talked to him in years. I was kind. We talked about positive things about which we agreed. We avoided things that we knew we differed in. It was a congenial conversation, Brother Mike. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go preach for him. And I'm not going to have him come preach here. But I could still be his friend.
Yes.
And I was. I didn't call him. He called me. Now, listen to me. We're to be faithful whether someone else is or not. If your faithfulness is conditional on somebody being faithful to you, you are not faithful. You're selfish. Can I tell you something? This is where I'm about to shout. Can I tell you, if you've ever been saved, everybody look at me for a second. The moment you get saved, you never have to worry about ever losing it. Can I tell you why? Because according to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's ability to cleanse us from our unrighteousness doesn't change whether our righteousness changes or not. You cannot lose your salvation. You say, why? Because God is faithful. You didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to keep it. These Pentecostals and Church of God and all these other Baptists and others that say, well, you got to repent and you got to do this and you got to live a certain way or you're not going to be able to keep it. That's a bunch of trash.
Amen.
That's salvation based on works, not salvation based on God.
Amen.
God said, I am faithful and just to forgive you. And if God can be faithful to us as sinners, how much more should we be faithful to each other? That means this. Leadership is supposed to be faithful to fellowship. We think our children should be faithful to us. How faithful are your children? Are you? Quit demanding faithfulness of followers. You demand faithfulness of yourself as a leader. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say you shouldn't want your followers to be faithful. Brother Mike, I'd like everybody to be faithful. I wish everybody that's come to our church would be here today. But guess what? I'm not disappointed you're here. I'm here. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning getting... I'm so wound up, it's not even funny. And I only had two cups of coffee this morning. Aren't you glad? Can I tell you something? I get excited about coming to the house of God. And I thank God for every person here. I'm going to work harder getting more people here. And I'm glad school's starting and vacations are going to be over so that more people will be here and get back into routine. I've had so many people say, "Soon as school starts, we'll be back. Soon as we'll be back." Oh, my soul. Yeah, I wish followers were faithful, but can I tell you something? It's my job to be faithful whether the followers are or not. Can I tell you something? God does not expect you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. God knows you can't be as faithful as He is. God knows it. Everybody listen to this for a second. How can we as parents expect a child to be faithful when we're not? Some of you expect more of your children than you do yourself. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. So many times we expect things of others just because of their position. Well, they were brought up in church. They know better. Yeah? And how long have you been in church and you expect that of them? You know better. Yeah, buddy. How many things should we bring out of the closet that you've done that you know better about? And yet you want to point your stinky, snotty, little, sinful finger at somebody else? That's called Pharisaism. That's called sinful. Well, I brought my kids up in church, and bless God, they're adults now, and none of them go to church. Well, you brought them up right. That's between them and God, not between you and them. Quit beating yourself up over it, and you just be faithful. Can I tell you something? You can't expect somebody to be faithful. You are to be faithful whether they are or not. Aren't you glad God doesn't base His faithfulness on your faithfulness?
Amen.
Some of you want to play God. And you expect a 7-year-old to be as faithful as a 37-year-old. Can I tell you something? Wrong answer. Doesn't work that way. I had to love the guy. I wanted the Lord yesterday. I wanted to have him say it again and record it. 18-year-old young man. He looked like he was about 24, 25 years old. Big old strapping boy. I mean, big old boy. He's the kind of guy that when he comes here, he'll be my bodyguard. He's not as big as Shane, but I'm telling you what, him and Shane shoulder to shoulder going to fill up that hallway out there. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, how old?" I wanted the Lord. I said, "Well, how old do you think I am?" He said, "You're probably 35. Is that not what he said, Brother Barnes? I said, "Don't I wish?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm 51. He said, "No, you're not." I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "I didn't think he was that old." I said, "Shut up." Phew, I was going to beat him with one of those 12-inch block. That's okay. I can run faster scared than he can mad. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Our job is to be faithful whether somebody else is or not. Aren't you so glad that God is faithful when you're not? Then why do you expect other people to be more faithful to you than you are to God? You want to know why you get disappointed so much in people? You want to know why you get your feelings hurt so bad? Because you expect somebody to be something that you are and nobody is what you are. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I better go to point number two because it's getting progressively hotter in here. So, number one, God is faithful to us. Leaders are supposed to be faithful to followers and not demand it of followers back. Number two, God's word is faithful.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 86. Psalm 119, verse 86. Come on, folks, you got to hurry up. Break that thing in there. Psalm 119, verse 86. The Bible says, "All thy commandments
are faithful.
They persecute me wrongfully, help thou me. Notice, all thy commandments are faithful. The word commandments is the word of God. Did you know that the word of God is faithful? Amen. By the way, that's why we're not supposed to rewrite it.
Amen.
That's not why we're supposed to have other versions.
That's right.
We're to have it as God gave it.
Yes.
God's words don't change. That's why all these perversions and versions are wrong.
Amen.
Just stick with the old King James Bible. That's all you need.
Amen.
You don't need to play with others. There's a person in our church. They're growing, and before they came to our church, they had other versions. They heard me preach, and I'm sure it hit a nerve. But may I say something? They started listening to the preacher, started reading the King James Bible, and they just threw their others out not long ago. Can I tell you why? Because they said the others don't affect me like the King James does, and this is the Word of God. They now understand it.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't it funny? All the smart people need an easier Bible to read. Do you ever wonder why smart people need something easier to read? This is why we need to read it and live by the Word of God, because it is faithful. Can I tell you something? Thy word forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
That's right.
It's not going to change. Well, that book's just so outdated. No, it's not, because it is God. It is the words of God. And may I say this, it's as present now as it was the day it was written.
Right.
I had a preacher friend in a different state, won't tell you where. He was preaching about the Bible, and he was all excited about it and kind of gave me his outline, and I fired him up a little bit more, got him wound up, and I said, isn't it amazing when Jesus quoted Scripture? He quoted Scripture that was Old Testament and farther away time-wise than the words in red in your red letter edition Bibles are that Jesus spoke while on earth.
Right.
By the way, if we're going to have a red letter edition, it ought to start in Genesis 1:1 and end in Revelation 22:20. Because he spoke every one of those words.
Amen.
He is the Word of God. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
And when you're colorblind, the red letter doesn't mean anything anyway. yeah, that's funny. This is why we should live by God's words, so that we can be faithful. The more you live by the Word of God, the more faithful you will become. Well, I don't want to go to ask the preacher what to do. He's just going to tell me what the Bible says. I'll help you be faithful too. Say why? Because the Word of God is faithful. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of James, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Everybody listen to this statement. We live in a world of education and intelligentsia. That means smarts. The Bible doesn't say, be ye knowers of the word. It says, be ye doers of the word. Now, you got to know it to do it, but God's more concerned about what you're doing than what you know.
Amen.
Because if you start using what you do know, God will unlock more truth as you start obeying.
Amen.
You want to learn the Bible better? Start obeying the Bible better. You know, when your children start driving a car, you don't let them do everything all at once. Once they master one part of it, then you give them a little bit more. But you have to understand, they have to understand the basics first, and you begin to give them more and more and more and more as they start obeying it more and more and more. God says, I'll give you truth as you start obeying truth. Can I tell you why? Somebody asked me recently, what commentaries do you have? I said, the King James Bible. Well, what commentaries do you read? I said, the King James Bible. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. They said, well, if you were going to recommend a commentary, Who would you recommend? I said, God. I said, please don't take this the wrong way, but 99.99% of anybody that wrote a commentary did not go out and go soul winning. If you have time to write commentaries, you didn't take the time to go soul winning. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
By the way, most of the commentaries have bad doctrine in them. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say why? Because they're knowers of the word and not doers. We live in a, we had a lady visit Wednesday night. She came here. I believe she'll be back. And she said, you know, this is the first time in 10 years I've used a songbook. She said, the church where we go, everything's printed on the screen. And we don't sing the old songs anymore. She said, it was so refreshing that your Bible matched the Bible I have. And it's a so-called, quote-unquote, fundamental church in our area. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
She said, I'm coming back.
Amen.
She said, a songbook. She said, the Bible. I said, well, just so you know, the new auditorium has no screens. We have songbooks, and I'm old-fashioned all the way to the bone.
Amen.
I said, we're not changing that. Say why? Because we're going to be doers of the word, not hearers only. My job is not to fill your notebook, it's to fill your heart with the word of God. I got to hurry up here. Number three. The Bible says that the Lord is looking for faithful people. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And I hope this gets down to where we actually live and where the rubber meets the road here. Proverbs chapter 20. If you memorize or if you mark your Bible, you ought to memorize this verse. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his what? Own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. We are so concerned about telling everybody else how good we are, we're no good.
That's right.
We're so busy being a Pharisee, look at me, that we quit our faithfulness. God said, a faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards, verse number 2, that a man be found faithful. The word steward there is the word servant. If you want to serve the Lord, you have to be faithful. Everybody listen to me. What if I only came to church as much as you do? How long would I have my job? Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
I love you. I'm not mad at anybody. But it's required that a steward be found faithful. You just expect the preacher to be here. By the way, I expect the preacher to be here. One of these days, we're going to hire a staff person. We're going to need to. The old man's getting tired, amen? No, we're going to grow so much that the old man's going to need a little help. But can I tell you something? I'm checking out their faithfulness. Can they show up where they're supposed to show up on time, do what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it? That's part of being a servant of God.
Yes.
I'm not going to hire somebody that I have to babysit. Now, they're not going to know everything, and they're not going to be a finished product when they come here. You hire a 23, 24, 25-year-old, they're still wet behind the ears. They think they know it all, but they got a lot to learn. How many of you have learned something since you turned 25? How many of you have totally changed what you think since you were 25? The life experiences have a way of beating the snot out of you to realize you didn't know as much as you thought you knew. But may I say this, we're going to find somebody that's faithful. I'm going to find somebody that didn't cut all their classes as much as they could in over-absence classes. Part of the reason, and everybody listen to me on this thing, part of the reason somebody that goes into the ministry, the Bible says you ought not be a novice. Bible college is like boot camp. If you can't make it through Bible college, what good are you in the ministry? I believe it's where you earn your rank, where you earn the right to be able to go out and help somebody. I'm not saying that somebody can't be a preacher that never went to college, but in general, I think it's wise to get all the way through boot camp. Everybody doing okay? We ought to be faithful. The Lord requires of stewards that they be found faithful. Matter of fact, the Bible promises, and we won't take time to turn there, Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 23, the Bible says that if you're faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. That means this. The more faithful you are, the more responsibility you will get. God, Brother Mike, rewards faithfulness with responsibility. Can I tell you something? Somebody that has much responsibility is a faithful person. You've heard the adage, ask a busy person to get something done. Because somebody that's busy knows how to get something done. Somebody that has enough time to get it done probably isn't going to get it done because they don't do anything. Everybody doing all right? You say, preacher, you got too much on you right now. You're doing too many things and I don't want to bother me. It's okay. I can get it done. I'll figure a way. Busy people have the character to get things done. God promises blessings to those that are faithful. God wants to reward faithful people. Did you know God wants to reward you that are faithful? God wants to bless you that are faithful. And he's going to do it by giving you a little more responsibility. That doesn't mean just because you came to church Sunday morning that you're not faithful. But I think eventually you got to increase that. And as you increase, and there's things you can do. If the only time people, by the way, we have a lot of new converts and people are growing. And we're going to have folks that don't understand being here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That seems like a lot of church. Yeah, it is. But we need it. Amen. But can I tell you something? If you only come one service a week, God can use you. Yes. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. So God wants us to be faithful. Number four, and I'll finish. God wants faithful people to teach others to be faithful. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. Actually, let's start in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Everybody look at me. We're to learn to be faithful so we can teach others to be faithful. Can I teach you something about being a parent? Got a wee little one here. You know, she's not supposed to be the one to decide whether you go to church or not. Yeah. We're to teach them to be faithful. Right. Well, I don't want to force my kids to go to church. Well, you forced them to learn how to use the toilet. And in my day, they taught you which one to use. You weren't confused. In the moment you got close to the wrong one, everybody let you know. Now, wait a minute. That old dog don't hunt. Well, I don't want to force it upon anybody. You make them go to school every day. Isn't it amazing? We make our kids do what we think is important. So if we don't make them go to church, we don't think church is important. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Amen, preacher. Because God is the source of faithfulness, it is a truth. And because it's a truth, it is a learned behavior. And it is something that is copyable. Can I tell you why people don't go to church today? Because we have a generation that's not taught them how important that it is. Do you know why we have a generation that says you can go to church in your pajamas and dress like the world and be like the world, and we'll bring the rock music of the world in and have stage performances, and the preacher will get up with his sermonette sucking on a cigarette with his little stool and his little Garth Brooks microphone and his, turtleneck shirt on, and sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because we have a generation that are faithless. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives where that happens here.
Amen.
Say what? This is like military chow. Hold out your plate. We're going to flop it on there.
Amen.
This isn't a buffet where you choose what you want. By the way, you might not like it, but chew it and swallow it. It's good for you.
Amen.
You might hold your nose while you swallow, but swallow anyway. We need to teach people to be faithful. What happened to teaching faithfulness in America today? There was a day where you showed up to work on time and got in trouble or fired if you didn't show up. Brother Mike, Brother Bob, you know what I'm talking about. Poor Brother Bob can't even find people to show up on a work site. Brother Mike can't either. If you can walk, talk, and show up on time, you can get a good job in America today. Guarantee it. If you're willing to work and be there, you could get a job. I said this recently. I remember when I got my first job. I was delivering pizza and working in a kitchen in a little pizza restaurant owned by a Greek. I think that's funny. We think pizza's Italian. Pizza originated in Greece, not Italy, just so you know. But I was working there. I remember my dad showed up. Out of the blue. He was just checking on me. He told my boss, "Is he working? Is he working hard? If not, let me know or you fire him." I remember I got to my next job. I was working in a steak restaurant as a line cook. Ended up being headline cook. And my dad and mom came to eat in the restaurant. And my boss came back and said, "Your parents are here." I said, "That's fine." I said, "Are they eating?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, your dad said if you're not working, I should fire you." I said, "That's all right. You need me to leave now or later?" He said, "Don't you dare leave." My dad checked up on me to make sure I was being there. What happened to that?
Amen.
You know, I'm glad when I went to Bible college that I didn't have to have my daddy check on me to see if I was going to work every day. Yeah. But when he came to visit, he did meet my boss one time because I walked him through the shop and he said the same thing to the boss. What happened to that in America today? By the way, we're supposed to be where we're supposed to be on time. I'm not getting, if you were late today, don't get upset. I'm not preaching at you. It needs said. Yeah. But may I say this, we ought to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. What if Sunday school is supposed to start at 9:45, church at 10:45? What if I didn't come stroll into the church property till about 11 o'clock on Sunday morning? Some of you would be pretty upset, and it wouldn't happen too many times before I'd be looking for another church. Well, I'll promise you, ain't nobody here on the property before the preacher is. Say why? It's my job to be here. I'm here every time the door squeaks, and I'm the one squeaking the door. You know, we need to help new people in our church to be a part of all we do. Hey, instead of being upset that not more people are out soul winning, when's the last time you invited somebody to come with you? I think it's every Christian's job to go soul winning. I really do. But when's the last time you invited somebody to come with you? So, well, preacher, you have soul winning times and you announce it. They ought to have the character to show up. When's the last time you invited them? Say, hey, I'll go with you. Why don't you come with me? They doing all right?
Amen.
You know, little things turn into big things in faithfulness. Because thou wast faithful in little, I'll make thee ruler over much. It's the little things that turn into big things. Do you know what a big thing is? I love this, Brother Larry. A big thing is nothing but a bunch of little things put together.
Amen.
How many bricks and block have you done already? Hundreds. He's probably got 500 or 600 bricks and block already stacked. One block and one brick at a time. It's just a lot of little things put together, but it's going to be one big, gorgeous sign. Wait till that building goes up. It's a bunch of little boards that become one great big building. A big thing is nothing but a bunch of little things put together. We focus on the big thing instead of the little things. I was glad our builder... He's so particular. He hired a surveyor to come back after they poured the footers. Now you have end stakes on the ground level, so that they knew where to match everything. But he had a surveyor come out and laser all four corners of the building on the footers, and mark those so that when we laid block, everything was in perfect line. Because he didn't want that building off a quarter inch the whole way. He wanted it dead on. And may I say something? It's dead on. Now, there's ways to do it mathematically and everything else, but you can still be off. In today's society, it's easier with a laser line just to get it set up that way and do it. And he did. And I'm so glad that it's exactly right. You say, what is that? A little thing that's going to make the whole big project work right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a faithless generation because we're not teaching people to be faithful. Did you know we're going to pick up people from time to time that don't know how to behave in church?
Right.
It's not your job to get a bad attitude with them because they don't know how to behave. How about you sit beside them and teach them how without having a bad attitude? Just because you've been in church since Noah got off the ark doesn't mean they have. Just because your mom or dad took you to church doesn't mean they even have a mom or dad that they know that ever did take them to church. Don't get mad at them. Teach them. Well, they ought to know how to... You know, no. They grew up in a different generation than you have. Yeah. Sitting by Bob. He'll smack him upside the head for me. Amen. You know, somebody's going to write on the bathroom wall. In the new church? Yeah. And I'm going to be the first one. Just going to get it out of the way. I'm just going to sign my name to it. Amen. Preacher was here. Y'all laughing. I'm probably going to do it. Say why? Because might as well get it over with right away and get all your grumbles out. Everybody doing okay? It's our job to teach them to be faithful. Thank God for Brother Lopez in Junior Church, teaching our kids to be faithful. Thank God for Sunday school teachers that are faithful. Thank God for church folks that are faithful. Let's learn to be faithful in all that we do. Let's learn to be faithful in our marriage. Let's learn to be faithful in our homes. Let's learn to be faithful at work. Let's learn to be faithful in our church attendance. Let's learn to be faithful in our church duties. Let's learn to be faithful in our neighborhood as a good neighbor. Let's learn to be faithful in our friendships. Let's learn to be faithful in soul winning. In our stand for the Bible, let's be faithful. In our daily walk with God, let's be faithful. Can God depend on you to be with Him today?
Amen.
And tomorrow?
Yes.
And the next day?
Amen.
And the next? And the next? It's required in a steward that he be found faithful. But may I say this, God is faithful, whether we are or not. Thank God for Lamentations 3:22. Great is thy faithfulness. Whew. Even when we're not faithful, He is.
Amen.
Even when we fail and we sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I led that young man to the Lord yesterday. I said, "Colin, if you died today, where are you going now?" He said, "Heaven." I said, "Where are you going 10 years from now if you died?" He said, "Heaven." I said, 100 years from now?" He said, "Heaven." I said, "Can you ever lose it?" He said, "No. Because it says, thou shalt be saved." That's not hope so. That's not maybe. It doesn't say shall be saved until you do something wrong. You say, why is that? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know your need like you do. But who would say, "Preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon today was something I needed"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Virtually every hand in the room has gone up. You may put them down. May I encourage you? In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. Either come forward as far as you can and kneel at an old-fashioned altar, or kneel there at your chair. Maybe you just need to sit there at your chair, but why don't you find out what God wants you to do and do it?